If what's going to happen wasn't so comical, I'd think it tragic.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the crunch of things. The ice age is coming. The sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected. The wheat is going thin. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. I live by the river.
Here is the League Podcast 345. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
Welcome back. It's been a spell. It's been a couple weeks, I think, actually. So, but that's a long time. I was away. And, you know, just like I said, when you're away, you can't podcast.
You're just drinking cases of cranberry wine on the beach in Nantucket.
We were only in Nantucket for a day.
Oh, really? Yeah. You did other stuff?
We did other stuff, yeah.
You were down the Cape.
Yeah, we were down. I was down the Cape with my fam.
I see.
And, we were, we just took a day trip to Nantucket.
Gotcha.
Which is very fun, and I have to say, I'm going to have to go back one of these days because Nantucket is fun, and you really can't do everything in one day. You have to – there's more to do.
That is like my family vacation spot. Like my parents or my sister will like rent a house down there for like a week straight in the summertime. We haven't done it in a couple of years now, but that's where we go. It is nice down there.
Yeah, we're going to definitely – hit it up. It's one of those places, like I said, though. I mean, some places you go for a day and you're like, all right, I'm done. I've seen it. And then other places, though, you got to experience the whole, you got to go again, experience the whole thing.
So, I either bring or rent a bike. It's actually cheaper to just bring a bike down there, like over on the ferry. It's like a couple extra bucks.
Yeah, there are a lot of people.
Then you get to ride your bike all on the little paths and.
Yeah, it's a very bike-friendly island down there, noticed. And I was thinking, I bet they're way better than the cyclists around here who are always, like, fucking everything up and getting in the way and
whoa.
Running me over, almost. Yeah, I don't mean you, Clay.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of other hate from the cars toward the cyclists.
Well, maybe if they didn't. Like run the red lights or you know what I mean? I'll stop.
I won't stand for this cyclist hate speak.
All right. Well, if you ever almost run me over because I'm a pedestrian crossing the street and you're just running through the red light.
No, you have to follow the rules.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Also people driving cars. I just look in every car because I don't know if I'm going to get doored or if like, something's going to happen. I look in every single car. Every person is on their fucking cell phone. Every driver is looking at their text messages. Every single one of them.
I'm not saying the drivers are good either, but I don't have a car.
There's the ones that are like, fuck you to bikes. Even when you're following the rules and you're trying to share the road with them, they like won't give you enough room.
No, I know. I get that. There's a lot of those dicks, but I'm just saying. Like, everyone is obnoxious, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, everybody is the worst. I would have to say, hashtag cycle rant. The worst is these blue bikes because those people don't have, I feel like we've talked about this on the show before, but they don't have helmets.
And right, they don't rent helmets with those things.
Don't know how to ride a bike. They literally just walked up to a thing.
Put in their credit card and then they're off.
Like, Stacy doesn't – I always want to go for bike rides with Stacy. She's like, I just don't feel comfortable riding around the city. because she grew up in the suburbs and hasn't been riding her bike in the city for 25 years like I have, you know?
Right.
Like, so she just doesn't feel safe. But these other people are just, like, throwing their debit card in the blue bikes.
Yeah.
Getting on the bike, riding in traffic.
Yeah.
Those are the people definitely that are almost hitting pedestrians.
Well, it's everybody. I mean, you're right. There are definitely blue bikes that are hitting pedestrians. But just obey the laws. That's all, like...
And the, or the basic,
obey the laws.
The basic rules.
Yeah, rules. And the rules that will keep people alive. Yeah, those,
like, don't
follow
ride
those
on
rules
the sidewalk.
Too.
That's a rule. That's not a law, but it's a
rule. Right, it's a rule. Right, that's true. It's actually not illegal in Massachusetts to ride on the sidewalk. But I used to ride my bike to work a lot. I only ever rode on the sidewalk on those big wide sidewalks down by BU, and I would sometimes do that in the morning because otherwise I'd have to go down Comm Ave. Like, you know what I mean? Comm Ave is split. And,
yeah.
But so I would do it for a few feet when the sidewalk is really wide.
If it seems appropriate, if you're like, if there's nobody around at all, and you're like, oh, I can just, why don't I get out of the street for a second? That's fine.
Yeah. But I did get I got a ticket in Brookline for riding.
Did I get a ticket? No, but I've been stopped. I've been stopped by cops before on my bike just for running through a stop sign or.
Well, don't run through the stupid. No, it's okay.
But you don't even think
I got
any, like at a T at a T. So you're just like, oh, there's nobody. The traffic's not coming from either.
I know.
And you ride through it, and then like a Cambridge cop is like, I knew you bikes wouldn't pay attention to that.
I know.
they like,
it's almost
like
embarrassing. Track. I mean, it's just, it's like a, oh man. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm on a bike, you know, like, don't you have anything better to do?
Yeah.
Aren't there real crimes being committed right
now? Ticket. I'm riding my bike.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to save the environment here. I'm trying to help out and here you are. Give me a ticket, you know, and just like, come on, you know. There must be something going on that's a real crime right now.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I had a good trip, but I did make it to a comic store on last Wednesday. So
dancing on the streets of Hyannis.
Yeah, I made it to the Cape Cod Mall. I went to a mall and got my comics at a Newbury Comics down there. And here's a funny, so here's a sad thing. You know, you go to a different store and you're kind of disoriented and you're just like, whatever, I just need my books.
I'm so disoriented that I'm lucky if I get, let's say I have for instance, a pull list of 10 books. If I go to a completely foreign store, like in New York City or Chicago or something, I'm lucky if I leave with like, 2 or 3 of the books that came out that day that I wanted to get. Like, I'm just so discombobulated. I try and I focus and I try to do it, but I'll just be like, oh yeah, this is one I wanted, and then I just get distracted by all the other things.
I know, it's very weird. It's very like, it's very disorienting. So you know, I love David Mack.
Yeah,
right.
Mack Remeda.
Bendis, whatever. So, okay. So I guess Bendis, speaking of, they let him, or he has relaunched Jinx World, which was his imprint before.
Jinx World.
Oh, was that a thing? Is that a thing?
No, I just made up a jingle for them.
Good jingle. Yeah, it's a good jingle. So he's relaunched Jinx World. I don't know if it's part of DC or part of whatever. Or...
I think it's, yeah. Isn't it kind of like...
He just has so much goddamn money now because they paid him that he can just do whatever he wants.
The one in Marvel, too, is like the same thing. Like, it's like independent, but they own it, but the creators own all the rights. It's like an Image Comics model, but as a like subsidiary of DC or Marvel. Like, they fund it.
I see. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm behind on the news in the comics world. But anyway, a new Jinx World book came out, apparently, last week.
Oh, yeah.
Two of them came out, and one of them was with David Mack. And I missed it because I was in a different store.
Oh, you were all discombobulated. And then getting distracted by this. Here's a David Mack cover. What's that? Oh, he's drawing Superman? Oh, it's just the cover.
Yeah, no, he's not drawing Superman, but yeah. So it's kind of, but I did get
he's still
Pearl.
Cranking out covers.
He is still cranking out covers, yes.
So you got Pearl.
There was Pearl. Yeah, I got Pearl.
Nice. Tell me about it, because I don't know anything.
So Pearl has a very much, I don't know if anybody saw, anybody. I mean, I'm sure I know somebody. I don't know if you saw Atomic Blonde.
No, but I read the comic. I read the comic, and I really loved the comic. And Stacy was like so psyched to see Atomic Blonde, because that's like her kind of movie, like badass, like
yeah,
female
badass.
Jason Bourne or whatever it is.
kind of, yeah. But it's set in the '80s, so it's got
oh nice
Cold yeah. War, and it's like
it's one of those things
great...
where like we should have gone to the movies to see that. Now I think it's on HBO right now.
Yeah, it is. It is on HBO right now.
We'll have
to get
caught up.
It's got some great music. It's got some like 80s new wave. Oh man, it's really a fun movie. So this
and
is
Professor
very...
X is in it, right?
James McAvoy, yes.
Yeah, nice.
And he's very good in it. He's actually I think he's kind of an underrated actor. I don't know if he's rated or not for that matter. But I think he's very good. Is all
very good.
So Pearl, I got that vibe from it. So it's this woman. But and she's like a tattoo artist.
Uh-huh.
But she's also got this kind of... She's also like an assassin, and she's got this kind of power to... Like, she's
oh,
like...
Oh, nice.
It's not really... I don't know if it's powers. I guess you'd call it powers, but it's like this... She's got, you know, pinpoint accuracy.
You wouldn't call it powers, because that's the name of the other Bendis book.
That's another
right?
Bendis book. Yes, right. Exactly. yes, indeed.
And it's okay. This says San Francisco Yakuza, too. So
yeah,
like,
she gets in trouble with them. But there's also like a there's a boy who kind of likes her, but she's supposed to like take him out. But you know, kind of a thing. And it's Bendis and Gatos. So if you liked Jessica Jones and Alias, this might be right up your alley, actually.
So, what are her powers? Do we know?
It's not explained so much, but
oh,
she's like just super accurate when she shoots somebody, you know?
Oh,
it's
okay.
which makes her a very good, yeah. Which makes her a very good tattoo artist, apparently, because she's so precise with the needle. But I don't know where it's going, but you know, the first issue was very well.
It is listed under. If I just look at the DC page, which is where I get my DC news, it's not listed. It doesn't say any imprint on it or anything. It just says it's DC Comics.
Yeah, it says here on this thing, too, publisher DC Comics. Huh. But it's, you know, I mean, it's a Jinx world. If you look, well, if you can get a cover image, it will say Jinx world on there. But yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I guess it's kind of like, what, Millar World? And
Yeah.
And Scarlet. Isn't that a book he already was doing?
Yeah, he was doing Scarlet, and he was doing...
Never read that.
Man, oh, you know what? Maybe that MacBook didn't come out yet. Sorry, I interrupted myself. And there's also, he did this, like, United States of... What the hell was it called? It was, like, United States of Murder Incorporated or something like that.
Oh.
So I think he's doing a sequel to that. As well.
Well, I tell you what the smart thing was. Bendis, yeah, like, the smokescreen was, like, that he was, like, coming over to write Superman, which is awesome, and I hope he has, like, many, many years on Superman just doing cool stuff with other writers, too. But but maybe what the secret thing was that, like, they gave him a better creative deal on his Jinx World stuff over at DC, so that's why he left.
I mean, that was probably part of it. Yeah, like part of the incentive was,
like,
I mean,
yeah,
there was a lot of good things. He got to write new characters that he had never really done anything with before, like Superman, and he obviously got a boatload of money. And now, yeah, we'll give you a little more creative freedom so that you don't just have to write a million Spider-Man books. Like,
and maybe even this, like maybe Geoff Johns or maybe like people in charge over at Warner in DC are like, hey, come over and give us a Jessica Jones.
Well, yeah, which is maybe what some of these books are, because obviously Marvel owns Jessica Jones.
And that's what Mark Miller did too. He's just like, okay, I have Millarverse, and I'm going to fucking sell it to Amazon or whoever he sold it to. Is it Amazon or Netflix? I forget.
I don't remember.
But yeah, all of those characters are all still his.
Yeah.
Funded and part by Marvel and Image.
Right. Well, he gets to hire the artist that he likes, apparently, because he's got Gatos and David Mack and who's doing this United States of Murder or whatever it's called. Where is it? United States versus Murder Incorporated is like the. Oh, he's got Michael Avon Oeming on that book.
Yeah, and also John Romita Jr. is already over there.
Yeah, but I think they're literally giving him the freedom to work with whoever he wants. Like, and this is Alex Maleev doing Scarlet, who he worked on Daredevil with. Yeah, so this is like the Bendis All Star team, basically.
Yep.
So
I feel like Marvel's bumming. Because this is cool. I haven't read Pearl, but I will check it out.
Yeah, you should check out Pearl. It's very fun. It comes with a digital code. I can send it to you if you want. That you can check it out for free. Because I didn't sell that code for some reason. But, or whatever.
I saw a comic today with a code on it, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot they did that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a fun book. It's like Bendis stuff. They swear and they, you know, whatever. So.
Oh, it looks like they sent me a copy of that. I have it already. I think I swiped on by not realizing like what it was. Bendis, Gatos. Cool.
Well, yeah. Like I said, if you like Jessica Jones, this is the same team, obviously.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah. Check that out. But it looks like I didn't actually miss out on that David Mack book. It looks like it actually, let's see. It hasn't been released yet. September 5th. Look at that. So I got time.
Awesome.
Very well. So I was all worked up over nothing. I was so mad I missed the David Mack book, you know. I was like, wait a minute.
Well, but it's still going to be there. You'll be able to find it.
I know, but I
want
to be able.
You want the good bread.
I want the good bread. Yeah. The
first day.
I don't want them to be like, oh, we can ship it from another store. Because, I don't know, it's always just like, you know, I forget. I can get my own, you know, whatever.
I never opt for that.
Yeah. I feel like I did it once because I was like, and this is going back years, so I'm not criticizing anybody who works at New England Comics currently, but they were like, oh, we can have it shipped over here from one of the other stores. And I was like, okay, yeah. And I never got it. And I asked one of the employees, I was like, a couple weeks later, I was like, was there ever a whatever it was, you know, for Durson? And they were like, oh, I don't see anything. I was like, never mind. Nothing against those guys, but, you know, some of them are just not, they get a lot on the plate and they don't really remember. And it's a little disorganized sometimes.
they did me the service of making sure there's like, I don't have a subscription list, which probably drives them crazy. But like, they will pull a copy. It's like on their monthly order to like pull a copy of G.I. Joe Real American Hero. Cause I've gone in there a couple times and it's just been gone. I'll even go in on Wednesday and it's gone. And I'm like, but why? Or I get there Thursday and there's no more.
You wonder about sometimes. Do you think that they maybe only get like a couple copies?
I think they do, and I'm always
a huge
one
demand
of them. But yeah. I was like, can you just always make sure? I was like, you can pick the cover. I don't care which one it is. I just want one.
Yeah, it's disappointing. You go in, you're like, all right, do this, and there.
But
I have
Hannah always picks me the best cover. I'm always like, yeah, that's the one I would have got.
The best cover. That's good bread.
That is. Retailer picking out your cover, and sometimes they give you like the retailer incentive, like that Larry Hama pencil sketch or something, you know.
Very well. That's nice of them.
It is nice.
See, it pays to be a regular customer. I'll say that. It really does.
Oh, it does for sure.
Yeah. All right, what else did you get this week?
Well,
did you get
any other I was thinking books? All this Bendis talk getting me thinking about Marvel and how much I think Marvel must be bummed that
well,
all this
you know
good
what?
Bendis is going over there, because what they are stuck with now is there's great writers, but like Dan Slott is like the senior guy over there, and I got Fantastic Four number one, and I really am not gonna get Fantastic Four number two. I'm really not.
You know what? I haven't read that yet. That came out a couple weeks ago, and I was afraid. I mean, like, I'll buy it, I'll try it out, but yeah, I'm not. You know, Dan Slott's not one of my favorites. Oh, I want to tell you something funny. Do you have a?
Oh yeah, no. I was just
you
want to
talk about Fantastic Four?
Only briefly.
Okay.
I'm going to spoiler warning this. Ben Grimm proposes to Alicia.
Oh, he proposes, right?
And then they're trying to get. Oh, and we do see Reed and Sue off in like whatever dimension they're stuck in, and he built like this big Kirby machine, and she's like, "Is that?" He's like, oh, I think this is going to work. She's like, I believe in you.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And then they don't come back until the next issue, I guess. But what they were able to do was like send basically like a big solar flare in the night that has like a big number four.
Right. The big. Yeah.
That like everybody in the world can see, because it's like a big, you know, it's like a bat symbol, but it's like gigantic, so everybody can look that's on Earth can look up and see it. And so Ben Grimm and Johnny are with Alicia, and they're like, yeah, it's about time. That's them. So they'll be able to track those guys down. And
wait, can she see now or something?
No, she can't see.
Oh, okay.
But they're all together because they were okay. They're going out to dinner to celebrate the fun.
Oh, that's nice. Her and her other. Wasn't she married to Johnny at one point?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even if she can't see, she'd probably tell the difference.
Like, yeah, I know, but I mean,
you're awful warm.
Weren't they married, and now she's marrying like his friend? Isn't that a little skeptical?
I don't know. That happens,
strange.
I guess. And there's a Doctor Doom story in here, which is like, you know. Just resurrecting the real Doom, and I don't know.
All right. So wait, he's a bad guy again?
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
What happened to infamous Iron Man and all that?
He's like, I'm done being a hero. This is the face I choose.
Oh, all right.
Because it chose me. You know.
Oh. Okay. Can't wait to dive into that one.
Yeah.
So you won't be buying issue 4. Issue 2, I should say.
Well,
4, Fantastic Four.
If it makes it to issue 4, let's say.
Wow, wouldn't that be something? They canceled it.
They canceled it at 3.
After all these years being like, oh, Fantastic Four, and now it's coming back.
At 3.
Like, oh.
They don't even make it to 4.
They're like, nah, you know what? Sorry.
That was stupid.
That was bad.
But go ahead.
So I had a funny... sorry.
That's what I
just
getting up an hour earlier.
Yeah, that's what you do. You got me all
pipes warmed up.
I'm not ready yet. So speaking of Bendis, so I read Extermination number 1, which is this new X-Men sort of crossover thing.
Right.
And so interesting issue. It seems to be centered around like those original 5 X-Men who are now in the present, sort of, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're just sort of getting them back to where they belong. But so like, it's actually kind of interesting. And I'll just spoiler warning this too. So there's like this thing where these guys are hunting the all new X-Men, as they were called when Bendis brought them back, and they capture Iceman. And in the process, Cable is there, and he's trying to protect Iceman, young Iceman, and he is killed by this mysterious assailant. And they're all like, oh my God, Cable is dead. And it was kind of interesting. You get this kind of idea that like that's the son. You know what I mean? Like, they're all kind of, there's a lot of relations there. Like,
right.
Cyclops' son. Jean Grey at one point says, oh, my son, even though I thought that that wasn't really, I don't know whose son he is anymore, but I thought he was Madeline Pryor's son. But like, and Rachel.
Oh, right, right. How many?
Rachel Summers is like kind of upset because that's, I guess, her half brother or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's very intertwined.
How many
what?
How many Marvel girls, clones or doppelgangers or whatever it is that you want to call them? How many are there?
I don't know. There's too many.
Because I've never known. I'm not saying I forgot. I just have never known, like, my whole life.
From what I remember. I was like, back...
that's what's going on in the X-Men. I don't really follow that, but I'll pick up a couple issues here or there.
Yeah, so as far as I remember, there may have been others, but original Jean Grey died, you know, after the Dark Phoenix thing and all that. During that. She died there. And then, like, Cyclops, sometime later, married this other redheaded woman who kind of, they were like, wow, she kind of looks like Jean, but okay, I mean, he's got a type or whatever. And it was never really, you know what I mean? It was never really discussed. He's got a type. Yeah. So they were married and then they had a son. And then not long after that, it was discovered that she was just a clone created by Mr. Sinister to, I don't know what, fuck with Scott. I don't know. Like, there was never, I don't remember the explanation, but that was all during Inferno, which I don't know if you remember Inferno, but
I do.
Okay. Clay, so then, but they had already brought back Jean Grey. They had already brought back OG Jean Grey. You know, and they were in X-Factor. So Cyclops did leave Madeline at one, just he heard Jean Grey was like, had been discovered. Her body was back. She was in a cocoon or whatever and discovered. Yeah. And he just left her. Like, he's just like, I got to go check on this. Bye. And like, he left her and their young son to go. And as far as I know, he never went back. So he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, he's definitely a dick.
So anyway, so yeah, and then that supposedly, or from what I read, that kid grew up to be Cable.
Oh, that's sweet.
But I don't know if that's true. They might have sort of retconned that or whatever. But anyways, it doesn't. So we go through the issue, and they're like, okay, we have to find out what's going on here and who these people are, and Rachel, who was also their daughter from another timeline, is saying like, oh, this guy, his name is Ahab, and he was the one who made me hunt mutants and blah, blah, blah. And so he's after them. But there's this other dude, and it turns out, you know, the final page, that's like young Cable.
Ah.
It's like young man Cable. So it's all very good. But here's the funny part.
Is that like, would he be like an all new Cable, like,
yeah, it is. It's basically all new Cable who has come back to this timeline.
Is he fucked present. Up in like,
yeah, and he's like, I gotta go fix all this shit.
What does he and look like? Does he look, because Cable looks like he's in his 40s. Does he like,
well,
look like,
yeah,
he's in his 20s or something?
Yeah, he does. He looks like in his 20s. Oh, he still has the white hair, but that's all right. I mean,
what is this?
But yeah,
this comic book called,
it's called Extermination, I think. So, yeah. But here's the funny thing. So at the end of the book, there's one of those like letters from the writer kind of a thing, or like a little column.
Yep.
And it's from the writer, Ed Brisson, who's written a few things.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He said he was at a Marvel summit, and he says somebody brought up, what do we do with these X-Men kids? So I'm wondering if the idea is like, well, that was a Bendis thing, and he's gone, so let's just undo that.
Oh, I see.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, like, right.
That's how I interpreted that, but he did say his goal with this whole thing is that, like, it's not, I mean, we are going to tie up some of these, like, loose ends, because now there's two Icemans, two Beasts, you know, two Jean Greys, two Cyclops. Well, I guess there's only one Cyclops now, because the other one's dead, I think.
But old Cyclops is dead?
Old Cyclops, I think, is dead, but he'll probably come back. But you know what I mean? So I think he wants to tie up some of this. And so he says, your back issues will matter, is what he says. So,
all right.
Whatever. Yeah. But Yeah, that was the impression I got, was that they were like, well, yeah, that was a Bendis thing, and now we can move on and get
rid of
these.
I'm going to have to check this out. This sounds cool, man.
It's kind of neat if you know the history.
I like the idea of young Cable.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I didn't see that coming. So sorry if I spoiled it for you.
Oh, no. That's what got me in.
I could read it
after you gave a review of it.
Yeah, you can read it. What?
I don't care about the spoiler.
The art is very, very well as well.
It's not like the cover, though, right? The cover is painted something you don't like.
Yeah, the cover. Painted covers I'm okay with. Painted comics, it gets to be a bit.
This guy is good. This cover artist guy looks like he's not Alex Ross, but it looks like Alex Ross.
I think it's, what's his name?
Mark Brooks.
Mark Brooks, yeah. I almost said Mel, but it's not Mel. It's Mel's son.
It's Mel's son?
Isn't Mark Brooks Mel Brooks' son?
I think that's another comics guy. Max Brooks?
Oh, Max Brooks.
Yeah,
I thought they were the same guy.
He was a different Brooks.
Oh,
too many Brooks.
That's a very embarrassing, isn't it?
No, it isn't. Very, very, very common mistake. Max, Mark.
I'm embarrassed.
No, don't be. That was very close.
Oh, well. I always thought they were the same guy. I was like, whoa, he can draw too?
Well, and like do like crazy, like, see, people like Alex Ross and this guy, like, they might do like a public facing like persona thing, but they like have to spend like 20 hours on each of these like covers and stuff, you know?
It's
a different kind of like creativity. They just immerse themselves in that. The Alex Ross YouTube channel, I recommend checking that out. There's some cool stuff on there.
Yeah, very well. I will.
What about the old Batman?
Oh, I haven't read that yet. Sorry.
That's all right.
You can talk about it.
Well, there's a scene in here where like a young Bruce Wayne is kneeling over his dead parents in Crime Alley.
And, no, we've never seen that.
there's actually like it is like, you know, it's a 12 Angry Men type story. And this kind of wraps it up. Do they don't give their deliberation yet. They're still figuring it out. But but Bruce narrates a whole thing to sway the jury to vote, you know, that Freeze is not guilty. And, you know, without spoiling it, that he's actually Batman. But he basically says maybe Batman was like kind of overwhelmed, or he made a mistake. He's not God, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, you don't give blind faith in even God or whatever, you know? So they keep talking about God and faith, and they do kind of the thing that Tom King has been doing where they did it in the anniversary issue too, where he's like telling a narration and then they just show like a bunch of flashbacks and none of them really even relate to one another. So it's like year one, like kneeling with his parents. Then there's him training, like Batman year one coming off the plane. There's like panels like that are definitely from year one, or it's drawn to look very much like it. Then there's, you know, him fighting, you know, Joker, Penguin, Scarecrow, and just like these little flashbacks, all his whole rogues gallery. And then, but they keep just cutting back to him talking to a room of 12 people.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I think this is good. I'm back on board with like 1000% with Tom King on Batman. Now the Catwoman is out of his life.
Now the marriage thing is over. Yeah. All right.
I mean, in fact, I think he's telling really interesting stories, which I knew he would, but not his whole run of the 50 issues up to now. I can't say that I back it 100% because I don't. I back it like 80%, but now I'm like back up to 100.
But it was like it was only like what? Like a few, it was like 10 issues or something like that with Catwoman and whatever.
Oh yeah. No, I'm just talking about like
the
other stories too. Like
okay.
the there was just weird shit going on. I couldn't follow it, like with Bane and.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, some of that stuff was
Squire or like some other you know, Batman Incorporated people or something, and it didn't really make much sense to me, and I didn't care about it, you know.
Yeah.
Now I'm back into like being fully invested in my favorite comic book character.
Oh, very good. Well, I'll make sure I get on that.
Here, I know you didn't read this, but I think I should mention it. The last Batwoman of this rebirth Batwoman ended at issue 18. And Marguerite Bennett was writing it, and she did a really good job of carrying on like the Rucka J.H. Williams vibe of the thing.
Oh, but
also
good.
What she did, which I thought was very cool, was incorporated like a Batman 66 element to it. Like she would always have like really big props and stuff, but it was like kind of like, it was like based in the real world, but like just kind of like that Gotham like giant penny thing, you know, like
right.
The and like Snyder does that really well. Like he had a bunch of like cool little origin things, and like when he was telling his like Batman year zero or whatever,
right 0 year, yeah.
0 year, like, so he, you know, it's like they find a practical version, like, you know, like Kate's fighting Batman on like a building of Kane Enterprises, and there's a gigantic letter K, and they somehow like have the sign break off, and like the big K is like falling, tumbling towards them or something, you know what I mean? Like just did like really big silly props. And this last issue reconnects her with Renee Montoya, and they are now back as a couple at the end of
which is cute.
And they the punchline is that she defeats the Clock King's evil plan, who has like an army of clock robots, which are just it was really good interpersonal stuff, really good like action and that Batman 66 shit. And it was a really good book, and I'm bummed that it's over, because that like 18 issues doesn't seem like enough, especially if she's going to be on TV now.
Oh yeah, well I'm sure they'll just relaunch it.
She was good, yeah. Marguerite Bennett. She's a good comic book writer.
Oh,
I recommend
she is.
Her stuff.
Oh, she is. Yeah, very good.
So, that's it for DC, I think. There was the Sandman universe thing. They brought back Sandman for a new anthology series that's launching.
Oh yeah,
books.
I did see that.
Books of Magic is coming back, and Lucifer is coming back to comics, and some Sandman stories. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read anything else I've been talking
about. I read the one other thing I read that I guess we should talk about for a minute is Infinity Wars number 2.
Go for it. Talk
away. I talked about number 1 last time we were on here, and about how Gamora had the Power Stone.
The Power Stone.
So they actually showed her like in flashback killing Thanos. And actually Thanos saying like, "Oh, you put the Power Stone in a sword. That's brilliant." And then she cuts off his head. But it's also may not really be in flashback. I kind of feel like Gamora is going a little crazy. Or either that, or Thanos is somehow in her head. But either way, she's still talking to him, and she's carrying his head around in like a bag. So either he's somehow manipulating her, or she's just going nutso. So anyways, they're on Earth. They're kind of fighting. The cliffhanger in last issue was that she stabbed Peter Quill. But in the very beginning of this issue, Doctor Strange uses the Time Stone to freeze time, and like just before he dies, she like freezes time, takes him away, like kind of heals him or whatever. Meanwhile, so like you remember I told you like Turk, the guy from like Daredevil, like the thug, he had the Mind Stone somehow. So Doctor Strange sort of pulls him into another, you know, universe. It's like, dude, you need to just give that up and get out of here, or you're gonna get killed,
right?
Because you are not like, there's all these heroes fighting here, and they're going to just like murder you and take this thing. So apparently what he'd been doing, though, he had been using the Mind Stone to, like, play the stock market. And he made himself a boatload of money. So that was kind of funny. He's like, you could – I know. You gambled and you won.
Biff Tanner.
Yeah, he did, like, a Biff Tanner. So he's like, you gambled and you won. Now just take your money, take your winnings and leave because otherwise they're going to kill you.
Right.
And you're not smart enough to be able to.
Yeah.
So he's like, give me the stone and go. And so he's like, okay, but you owe me a favor. And Doctor Strange is kind of like, he's like, okay, well, this is the end of the universe, but okay, I'll owe you a favor. So I'm sure that will come back to haunt him. But they do use the stones pretty cool, in pretty cool ways here. Gems, whatever. In the comics, they're gems. So the whole point is, like, Gamora wants to get the Soul Stone, because there's apparently a piece of her soul in there. So she's trying to get the. There's another funny part too, where so Turk had all these. He had like Bullseye and like Sandman and a couple of other minions working with him. And like once they look around and find out that Turk is gone. They're like, what do we do? What do we do? And Captain America says, you guys, get out of here. Do I have to give you a speech?
Hmm.
And they said, no, no, sir. And they all run away. So that was pretty funny. But so anyways, Gamora uses some trickery as well as the Power Stone. But she gets her hands on all of them. She gets all the gems pretty quickly. And she's about to sort of use it. It was actually really funny. She cuts off Adam Warlock's head, too. And she's like, don't worry, you'll come back. You always do. Which is kind of funny. And then at the very end, she's like, kind of like, okay, now I need to do this. Get this piece of my soul back, blah, blah, blah. She's got all the gems. And Loki shows up. And he says, allow me to, you know, help you out with this. Because, like, you know, it kind of, it's messing with her mind. She doesn't really know what's going on. And Loki's like, let me help you. So I don't know where it's going from there, but that's like the cliffhanger. Is Loki's probably going to do something bad to Gamora. Like, he means it. I think he's like, allow me to offer you. It's kind of like it's in the movie. Right. When he offers Thanos, like, I have some experience on Earth. And you know, so like, it is very much like the movie. Actually, they use the stones, the gems, in ways that are very similar to the movie.
Right.
So it's, you know, whatever. I don't blame them. I always love Infinity War type stuff. So here we are. I'm pretty sure Thanos isn't dead. I'm pretty sure nobody's really gonna die. You know, like for good. But. It's a fun issue. It's Mike Diodato, you know,
right
artwork.
On.
And so I'm sticking with it. Although there are going to be a bunch of other tie-ins, which I'm not sure I'll be getting all those. I think I mentioned it last time. They're sort of doing this weird, like, combining of some of the heroes. They're doing this thing called Iron Hammer, which is like Thor in like an Iron Man suit.
Oh.
Back on Asgard, like, or something. And there's like, they're doing Super Soldier Supreme or something. I forget what he's called, but it's like Captain America who doing Doctor Strange, like with Doctor Strange's powers.
Oh, so it's like a what if or like a, I like it just powers mashup thing. That's cool.
That's what it sounds like they're doing. And nice. There was a couple other ones. I don't remember what they are, but it's fun. That's what's going on with Marvel.
Did you read what's it called? Multiple Man?
Oh, no, I haven't read that yet. That was getting really bizarre in issue 2, that's for sure.
It gets even weirder in issue 3, and I am loving it. I just love
it. All
right. I love crazy. I just love the crazy. You know?
All right. You love the crazy.
So, I guess we should talk, I should say that I went to formerly known as Boston Comic Con.
Right. I was going to ask about this.
The writers panel that I went to, I think I mentioned, you know, I was like, oh, I went to like a bunch of panels with John Byrne. Like I went to my Marvel writers panel and Howard Mackey was there and Is it Matthew? Matthew Rosenberg, right? Yeah, Matt Rosenberg.
Yeah.
Who writes Multiple Man. He was there, and he was talking about, like, his, like, punk rock, like, upbringings, and, like, that's how he got into comics, really, and gave his little origin story. He seems like a cool guy.
Cool.
And so that was fun, and, yeah, John Byrne was there, and they were, like, really pushing, I mean, for good reason, because they had Shatner there and John Byrne, and IDW has this new book that came out that's John Byrne's stories that he takes, like, stills of the series, and he writes new dialogue and, like, makes a whole new episode of Star Trek, basically, in a graphic novel format. And he was talking about that, and so that stuff was cool. William Shatner was cool, but the con overall was, like, super, like, weird. And if you look on I wouldn't usually do this, but there's some interesting stuff up over on Bleeding Cool about, like, how terribly they were treating the vendors and our friend.
Really?
Our friend. I don't want to call him out. Just, I don't want him to get in trouble, but our friend definitely, like, was being hassled as well. One of our vendor friends. And you mentioned you saw that, too.
I saw something on Facebook. Yes.
But, yeah, it just fucking just sucks, you know? Like, it's just not, like, friendly, really. It's
well,
just weird.
Somebody had replied to that post, and another friend of ours, I won't say who, well, I guess it doesn't matter. He posted on Facebook, but he just thought that you shouldn't have a corporation run, like, a fan event, because it's not, you know what I mean? Like, they're not fans, you know what I mean? And I, you know, I get it. Hey, everybody wants to make money.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you can make money and still make it a little fan friendly. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it sounds like, I mean, I didn't really.
It's more like an autograph session type.
Right.
Of
it's
con.
Just celebrities and.
And I have to say, like, I'm super glad that, like, there was sort of a Friday day, which was, like, a late afternoon, early evening hours of the con, which is just, like, kind of, like, cool. I went down there, I picked up my passes and, you know, walked around and then came home. And then, like, you know, Saturday I went down there, and that was, like, a typical, like, hectic day. Like, oh, where do I want to go? Like, what do I want to check out? And I checked out those John Byrne panels, and John Byrne was with, like, Chris Ryle from IDW, and, like, they were just really fun and cool, like, little panels. There weren't a ton of people there, but it was, like, real comic book stuff. And then Sunday I was like, you know what? Shatner's going to be there. I'm a fool to not go down there and sit in the big Hall H or whatever and see Shatner. You know, like, why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah.
So that was, like, that was very cool. Other than that, it's like,
yeah, I mean, other than John Byrne,
it's too big.
Yeah.
It's just too big. And it's not like PAX fills up that space and is too big and is, like, a complete overload. It's like New York Comic Con. It's just like, whoa, that place is, like, too big of a space for what they're trying to do.
Well, what are they trying to do? Like, just cram it with as many celebrities as possible? It seems like, I don't know. Like, it's not about, unfortunately, this is the thing. And then we've been saying this, I think, for a few years. It's just not about the vendors and it's kind of even less about the comics, but that's part of it. But it's not, I'm actually really surprised that John Byrne, like, that they had. Oh, I love John Byrne. When I was a kid, I remember his runs were amazing. Like,
and I guess he has
run,
like, this sort of personality, this persona or something. But, like, honestly, he just seemed, like, really cool. And, like, I don't know. I asked him a couple questions and stuff. Because there wasn't a lot of people there that was able to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, like, they're probably all going to see someone from Buffy in another one of the panels. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, this is actually, I think we saw, Stefan was like, you should come see the John Byrne panel at New York Comic Con last year, which is, like, really, I guess it's, like, last year. But yeah, I went to that. And then this one was, like, it was just a little bit more intimate, you know? And so that was cool. But, like, it's just so weird. there used to be, we used to bring our bin and carry it around all day. And,
yeah, well, we had an after party.
And I'd get asked to do panels, and I'm not.
Yeah,
like,
you used to do panels.
I'm not bummed that I don't get to do the panels, but you know, I'm available if they want to ask
sure.
me. They know how to get. They know how to get in touch with me. They know that I'm like applying for like. Press credentials, they could like look at the press credential list and be like, maybe some of these people want to do panels, but they don't.
Sure.
They have all the information. Whatever.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Let them have that thing, and then I'll go to like, I guess Terrificon was this weekend, and I hear good things about that. And that was at Mohegan Sun.
Oh, yeah, down in Connecticut. Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
I just go to like smaller things where they just, where somebody just sells like a bunch of like, I don't know. Like old school model kits and like stuff like that, like just local
yeah.
stuff, like Super Mega Fest or whatever.
You can get some of your G.I. Joe back issues.
I didn't even at this fan expo, I didn't have it in me to even look through the back issues. I didn't
there probably weren't that many, because,
but
I don't know.
Matt, I didn't even look at any of them. I didn't even walk up to. They do have actual comic vendors there with long boxes. I didn't look at anybody's long boxes. At a Comic-Con.
I was so
bummed out. I was dejected. It was depression.
Dejected. Oh, that's sad. Ugh. Boston Comic-Con used to be, I don't know. Like, I haven't been in a few years, but it used to be a lot of fun. Like, when it, this is not the reason, obviously, but it was in April. Not that that matters, but, like, you know, it was at the Heinz.
Maybe it does matter.
Maybe it does.
The time of year is very important.
Yeah,
middle of
right.
the summer, like it's fucking hot as balls out. It's like,
yeah,
dude, you're killing me.
Well, it was also pouring last Saturday. I don't know. I was thinking about people standing in line just waiting to get in, if that was a thing, because I know it used to be. But you know what I mean? It was at the Heinz. The Heinz is huge, but it wasn't like so crammed. You know what I mean? Like you're able to walk around and do everything you needed to do.
Yeah.
Like it was big, but it wasn't like overwhelming. It was like, oh, I'm gonna go over here, and there's plenty of space for me to walk over here.
Yeah, yeah. It was just fun. Didn't you go one? I always think about this when I'm watching Star Trek for some reason. Like, didn't you like buy a Spock shirt to like get in for free?
That was something. I don't remember what that was. Yeah, I had a Spock shirt.
Oh, you had it already.
That for some reason, John and I had bought them a long time ago just as a gag. And he bought a Kirk shirt and I bought a Spock shirt. I don't remember. Maybe we did buy it once many years ago because it was like to get in for free. But we also thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I kept that thing for years. and every time there was a com around that gave you free admission if you wore a costume, I would wear it.
That's so funny. I love it.
I know. I guess I got my money's worth, you know, because I'd be like, so, and someone was like, oh, that's $12 or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, this is my costume. It's a Spock shirt. And they were like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they kind of weren't like, they weren't really into it, but like, they were like, all right, fine. Because I didn't have like a giant, you know, like sword or something, like,
right,
or some kind of costume that I worked on all year. I literally wore that shirt that I had been moving around with for like 15 years
in your various bins, the bins of
yeah,
your life.
Exactly. The bins of my life,
the bins of your life.
Anyways. Yeah. I mean, but cons are just, this is the way of Comic-Cons now. They're owned by large corporations, and they just bring in celebrities, and that's all it is.
But I honestly, like, it's a big deal for me every year, like, to go to Comic-Con, because it's like to New York Comic-Con, because it's like
right.
my birthday and it's a vacation for me, and I still have genuine good comic book fun there. So they haven't captured like the big show experience. They certainly make the small show experience people feel uncomfortable. So
right.
it's just like, you know, what the fuck's going on here, you know?
Well, I don't know. We'll see, I guess. But I know, like we said, a bunch of the I'm sure a lot of vendors feel the same way as our friend does, and maybe just won't go back next year, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't pay to go there, to be honest, you know?
Never mind paying for a table or a booth or something, you know what I mean? And you know. Yeah. It's rough. But, hey, at least you got a press pass.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, there you go.
That's it.
That's it. All right, I know you got to run.
All right.
But unless you had anything else to talk about?
I think that clears it. I do have, like, books, but I'm a little bit like you. Like, I have books I still need to read.
I have stacks. I have this huge... I mean, I actually bought...
It's nice when you get a couple hours and you're just like, oh, yeah.
I know. I actually brought a stack of books with me to vacation, which I haven't done in a while. Sometimes I'll bring a trade or something, but this year I brought a stack of all those Hunt for Wolverine books.
Oh yeah,
and I read like 8 of them, which I thought was pretty good, but like I still didn't get through them all. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to do that. I'm gonna have to take a couple hours and just read a bunch of books. But oh man, it's just hard when you get behind, and then you start to just kind of get, you're less invested in it because you're like, all right, now I have to read these. You know what I mean? Yeah. Instead of like, I want to read them. So anyways, we'll get there.
Oh yeah.
But thanks for listening, everyone. And check out leaguepodcast.com. Check out our new fun little thing, which, it's the jumping on points. We assembled some podcast that, you know.
I like that. I like that. Good job with that, by the way.
Yeah, did you check that out? Okay.
I don't think I mentioned it to you. I didn't
want to take full credit, and obviously you can add or subtract any podcast you want. But yeah,
I don't even know how you did it, so I'm just going to let it be like that.
Oh, all right. It was just links.
And I agreed with all of your episode choices. All
right.
Maybe you should throw a Curbcast up there.
Yeah, I should do that.
Throw one in there.
I'll throw one in there. I just put links up to, you know, they were just posting late. But anyway, yeah, so there's links up to some of our favorite podcasts. So if you're like, what's up? You guys have done 345 episodes. I can't begin to, because I've had people ask me that. So now this is what you can do. You can listen to some of our favorites and find out what we're all about.
And our controversial Last Jedi opinion. That's
right.
That's a good one because it has everybody on the show.
Yes, that's right. It has everybody, and it's fairly recent. I mean, it's fresh.
To be honest, you know, it's still a pretty hot topic.
I know. People still talking about it.
So hear what we have to say as a jumping on point.
Yeah, and then there you go. Jumping on point.
Which I think was – I think Stefan named one of my columns at Force of Geek that.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to.
I'm glad that it's being used. It's not like it's completely original anyways.
It's a comic book. It's like a comic book phrase. It's a cool thing to say about comics. But yeah, check that out, leaguepodcast.com. We have news, events, and obviously podcasts. So check it out. And thanks, Clay, for coming on.
Thanks for coming on a little early.
Thanks for getting me out of bed early.
Yeah, gets us. Clear that stuff out of your throat there now.
That's right. Now I finally sound good, and we're signing up. That's
right. Now the vocals are all warmed up.
Yeah. Now let's start this thing.
Yeah. Oh, should I have been recording?
Oh well, you know, it doesn't matter. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right, buddy.
And we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Calling, yes, I was there too. And you know what they said? Well, some of it was true. London calling at the top of the dial. And after all this, won't you give me a smile? London calling. I never felt so much alike.
Everybody is the worst.